All right. Once again, welcome to today's School of Prayer, where we have been praying for the last 30 minutes. I'd like us to settle and study the Word of God for a while before we rise up to continue to pray. And the focus of this segment has been, for the last 2 weeks, on total health for us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. And as the Word of God is coming today, all right, you are going to receive insight.
Amen.
You are going to receive healing.
Amen.
The power of God will be made available to drive out every affliction out of every life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Demons will disappear.
Amen.
It's not every demon you have to talk to. Some of them will just find their space. You know, it's safer to run away than to be engaging people telling you to come out. They might enjoy in the process. So some of them will just, as the word is coming forth, they become uncomfortable. If you want to get rid of cockroaches, what do you do? Put on the light. Like somebody cracked a joke. How many cockroaches does it take to change a light bulb? So you can't tell. As soon as the light comes on, they scatter. That's the way it works. So demons are scattering today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As the word is coming forth, the power of God is made available.
Amen.
To heal every affliction.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That power is available only for hearts that are open. Therefore, say, Lord, open my heart. Now, take another 1 minute. Just say, Lord, open my heart. 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 In Jesus' name. Now, if you believe the Lord has heard you, give me an amen.
Amen.
Therefore, we declare
amen.
That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen like you believe it.
Amen.
All right, let's take our seats. The Lord is good. Let's start again. 3 John. The third epistle of John. I'll read from verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. He said, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Now, please bear this in mind. The primary focus is that we walk in the truth. Amen?
Amen.
The truth is Christ Jesus, and the truth is in Christ Jesus. Two things there. The primary focus is that we believe. Now, believing does not mean to agree alone. Please don't forget that. Believing does not mean to agree. Believing means to focus. Believing means to follow. Believing means to, you know, interact with, to make part of your life. Do you get my point? That's what believing means. You know, in the scriptures. So when you see the word faith in the New Testament, it does not mean you answered an altar call. That may be the beginning of faith for you. There is no faith except you are walking. Those who inherit the promises, Paul said, they inherit it through faith and patience. They inherit it through faith and patience. And he told us, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What is patience? Patience is a qualification of faith when it's looked at over time. Patience means that you believed yesterday, you believe today, and you will still believe tomorrow. Faith is not viable except it is persistent. Faith without patience is ineffective. I hope you're getting my point. You cannot say I was once saved, therefore I will always be saved. That statement is absolute nonsense. It's like saying I was once alive, I will always be alive. I hope you're getting my point. It can't make any sense. It doesn't follow. If you have not breathed since yesterday, you are dead as of today. You were alive yesterday. That's how faith is. Faith that is living breathes. Do you follow my point? Now, I need to emphasize that. So what is faith? It means to follow and to continue to follow. What is faith? It means to believe and to continue to believe. That is what, not just to accept one information. No, you have to be living by it. You have to be living by it. I've seen people sometimes, they say, it's not like I believe them. It's just that, just in case, do you get my point? You actually are working against what you are saying. What I'm trying to say is that somebody will come and tell you now that if you eat bread, you will die young. You say, I don't believe them, but you stop eating bread. Do you hear what I say? You actually believe them. You actually believe them. You actually believe them. One of the problems, you know, we have with Christianity of today, I've been saying it, is Christians that don't believe. It's very common. They come to church, they learn the truth, wait till they start talking. So when we're talking about those who believe, we said the first thing is walking in the truth. Walking, the truth is Christ Jesus. The truth is manifested in Him. We're believing who is true. I like the way John said it, you know, the same John, if you go to, I think, 1 John, he used different words for it. The point, let me just see whether I can quickly open that portion of the scriptures. That was John speaking there. 1 John chapter 5. He said, and we know that, I'm reading from, let me just read from verse, I'm going to verse 20. Okay, let's just read that verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ, that is the true God and eternal life. Bear that in mind. Who is it that is true? Jesus Christ. That we know the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. Walking according to Christ is what John was saying to Gaius, that you are walking in the truth. It's not in political truth or economic truth, but spiritual truth which is founded in Christ Jesus. And we have been saying, listen, if you are in Christ, John said this is the will of God concerning you, that you prosper and be in health. If you are in Christ, this is the will of God concerning you, that you prosper and be in health. If you are in Christ, this is the will of God concerning you, that you prosper and be in health. Amen. It is the will of God. It is the will of God. Amen. It is the will of God. Amen. Your experience cannot change this. This is the will of God, that you prosper and be in health. Amen. I've seen preachers, and it's a pity. They preach, maybe, and it happens. Listen, sometimes it happens. What you believe is not coming to pass the way you expect it to. Then they now revise their doctrine. See, even if I'm sick, I will climb here and preach what I'm preaching. Don't say, but you are, am I the word of God? No, answer me. Am I the word of God? What am I? A preacher of the word of God. You hear the story of Elisha when he was sick with the sickness from which he died. Yeah, Elisha was sick. A sickness maybe of old age, I don't know. But the sickness killed him. Do you follow what I'm saying? But are we going to revise the doctrines of God because of the sickness of Elisha? No, we won't do that. We will do nothing of such. I told the story at that time. Anytime I get to that story, it's always very funny. That Catherine Kuhlman was supposed to preach somewhere. And go and get her books and read. You see that is unbelievable but true miracles. Yet, once she was supposed to go and preach, and she didn't make it because she fell sick. And they took her to hospital. Now, normally they bring people from hospital to her meeting. But they carried her and took her to a hospital for doctors to treat. They operated on her before she died. She had weak valves, or a weak valve in the heart. And the doctor decided, no, to strengthen this heart, we need to operate. And they did. She didn't recover from that surgery. All right? And she died. Now, let me ask you a question. Oh, of course, before I ask the question, there are many people who have used that as proof that God doesn't heal. That if truly Jesus healed, why did he not heal her? You want to know the answer? I don't know. Do I look like I know everything? Do you know everything? You can't use your limited knowledge to judge everything. You can't. The woman fell sick and died. But literally thousands documented. I'm not talking about documented. Hundreds published in books, researched with verdicts. That is like affidavits from doctors who manage the patients. I was reading one. It was open on my computer. I don't know when I opened it. I opened my computer yesterday. I just saw it there. So I read through it again. And this particular patient was being called. Because the young man used to go back to hospital. They say, the young boy that was healed by higher powers than us. That's what the doctors were calling him. They had given up on him. He got well. This was the woman who prayed for him. I hope you're getting my point. So please don't revise. Look, you're not the first to suffer. Don't come and rewrite doctrine because you prayed and you didn't get healed. Someone actually said that sometimes you pray, God will not answer because he didn't answer them. You have to learn to live with your sickness. Why? Because you are living with your own. Don't bring down our faith because you have not experienced something. I hope you get my point. You are not the standard of faith. You are not. I am not. The word of God is. I hope you get my point. Jesus is the author or the beginner and the finisher of the literal Hebrew Greek, the finisher of faith, not the faith. Like you read in most translations. Literal says the author and finisher of faith. If you want to look at faith, look at Jesus Christ. Don't look at me. I'm but a messenger. I'm an apostle. Now, please. I'm not saying I have a title apostle. What I mean is that I was sent. Do you get my point? I don't go and say, Pastor Frank is not an apostle. That's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. Apostle means a sent one, okay? So I'm sent to teach the word of God. I'm not the word of God. My experience is not the word of God. Occasionally, I'll use my experience to explain a part of the word of God. I use other people's experiences to explain a part of the word of God. But I am not the word of God. My experience is not the word of God. The word of God is our standard. And I'm giving you... Now, listen, again, what is the will of God? The will of God is what God desires. The will of God is if everything works... Because there are two sides of the will of God. There's one side that is this is what I want to happen to you, happen in your life. Then there's a second side, which is this is how I want things to run. Do you get my point? So, now, if the second side, the will of God is perfected in precepts and operations in the lives of people, then the will of God, which is his plan for their lives, will be established. That's what's called the will of God. That which he wants, that is what he determines, that is what he has proposed as the ultimate. That if every other thing was in order, this is what things would be like. That is the only thing really that's called the will of God concerning your life and my life. Do you follow my point? But you know the truth? We hardly, individually, experience it to the fullest. And your desire in life should be to experience it to the fullest. And the reason why we don't get it to the full, the feel, the brim, is never a problem with God, it's always a problem with us. So we don't revise down the will of God because of our experience. The will of God is to be kept up there and we are working towards it. Anytime you discover the will and you are not experiencing it, you will work on it till you experience it. You don't give up on it. You never give up on it. You work on it. That the will of God is not always there in our lives is shown by when Jesus taught us to pray. He said, pray like this. Thy will be done. So the will of God being done is what? A prayer point. If it was done automatically, it would not be a prayer point. That it is not done automatically, all right, is why it's a prayer point. So once you see it's a prayer point, it means it will not come automatically. Or let me say, it may not come automatically. You have to do what is necessary to make it come. You don't say, my experience is what God wants. No. Now listen, you know, I've seen preachers, you know, God, even forgive me. Maybe I've done things like that in the past, and maybe I'm still doing it. There was a question I was asked during the recording for Kingdom World Radio. Ask Pastor Banky. I want to tell you which question now. You know the answer I gave? They recorded it like that, and they will broadcast it like that. I said, I don't know. I said, I've never heard it before. I'm hearing it for the first time. Okay, I think I heard something like it before. But the way you are asking now is my first time of really coming in contact with this and having to examine it. So I do not know. Do you follow my point? Nobody knows everything. Some people do understand some things. And they start building doctrine. I heard one man preaching the other day. And they said that people say God gives storm. If God gives storm, why did Jesus stop the storm? I said, oh God, you see, you don't understand. You don't know. Just keep quiet. Those who want to know, okay, give us an answer. It is called mercy and judgment. God in judgment will decree a storm, and Jesus in mercy will stop it. Maybe German people don't read their Bible. Look, calm down. And I keep on telling people, if you're not a teacher, stop teaching. You will get injured. One day somebody came and told me that one prophetess said this about me. I didn't get angry. I said, go and tell the prophetess that I said, this job has been shared. You be prophesying. Let me teach. And then try and listen to me. You will learn something. This is not prophecy. This is teaching. You don't know it. Do you get my point? Yeah, you know, some people just be talking. Let me tell you why Jesus will stop a storm that the Father commanded. You want to know the reason why? I will tell you. Because between the commanding of the storm and the stopping it, there is intercession. The storm came for certain reasons. And then when the Son was brought into the center, he has the power to suspend judgment and take it later on the cross. Those things are just manifesting, you know. People say, people say, is there sickness in heaven? God doesn't have sickness in heaven. I said, he doesn't have to have it. He can withdraw the health. I hope you're getting my point. He doesn't have to have it. It's called, he withdraws his spirit. So God can say, the peace I gave, look, one day some people annoyed me. Look, Father God, thank God, you know, that I'm not God. I would have really, really dealt with some people. There was a particular radio station wanted to broadcast. They said, no, once it's 6 o'clock, they can't broadcast the gospel. I said, tell them I said, the peace that God gives after 6 a.m., they will never see it. That's what my message to them. If the word of God is not good, it can't come on your radio after 6. God's peace will end at 6 a.m. for them. Not provoke man of God. And there are things I will say, and God will have to answer. I said, what kind of nonsense is this one? There are things I'll tell the MD of that station and see. I demand, as a child of God, the messenger of the Almighty, I want this message 12 noon. And I'll walk away. Let's leave it there. Does God doesn't need to have sickness in heaven. He has the ability to withdraw the one he has given, the health he has given. He can look at somebody's heart and say, shame on me, you abuse like this. Proper functioning of the heart is my possession. I collect it. Go and beat the heart by yourself. See, the arguments we have, they are not necessary. Just listen. Let people teach you what you don't know. Do you get my point? You know, people come with some of these arguments that, if there's sickness in heaven, why is it just healing sickness? Some people sin. Do you get my point? And God decrees a judgment against them. Then, when they call for prayer, are you getting my point? Intercession is now made against the judgment. And if God says he withdraws judgment, Satan, who is often an agent of judgment, doesn't just go back home. Now he has to be flogged to drive him out. Do you get my point? That was what happened. Now, the next point we made, why I needed to say that, okay? Please, let me just, before I go back to that next point we made. Why I need to explain that is this. That what we experience a lot of times is not the perfect will of God. It's called the judgment of God. In fact, what we expect experience every time is the decree or judgment, the final decree of God. It's what we experience every time, not his will. Now, we need to walk until his will becomes his decree. Do you get my point? We need to walk until his will becomes his decree. It's the reason why we pray, thy will be done. Once you, in response to that, he will decree his will. Do you follow my point? So, for example, If the will of God is prosper and be in health, it's possible for you not to prosper and not be in health. Do you not ask yourself, why? I've been in church. They say prosper and be in health. Why am I not prospering? Why am I not in health? If you say the age of miracles is gone, then you will remain non-prosperous and you will never be in health. Satan will have stolen your inheritance. Because God says, what I want to do now is a miracle. And as you've said in my hearing, that's what I have to do now. And don't forget, Satan is an accuser. He will go. And when God wants to bless you, he'll say, excuse me, sir. He said, the age of miracles is gone. And God will say, Kai. I wanted to bless him, but he limited the Holy One of Israel. Do you get my point? When the people of Israel, instead of entering the promised land, when they said, we can't enter, did they enter? What did they experience? The will of God or the decree of God? That decree was a judgment because of their unbelief. Now, we will not say, when you leave Egypt, entering the promised land is not the will of God. No, the will of God is not that which happens automatically or which must happen. One thing you can never go against, it's not possible in the whole of the universe for anybody to go against, is a decree of God. Once he has issued a word in judgment as a judge, he said, this is my word, final on this matter. It is not possible for anybody to stop it. He is the only one who can stop it. But if he says, it is my will, it can be stopped. It can be stopped. Usually by the person who he spoke it to. That is that person. Enter the promised land. You are able. This is the land I have given you. Go in and possess. You can go there and say, I can't enter, I can't possess. I can't enter, I can't possess. And that way, his power is withdrawn. They now get angry with you. Like we said about unbelief the other day. Number one form of unbelief is what? Ignorance. I know no book. You don't know what God is doing. That's number one type of unbelief. The second type of unbelief is, Abba, this is too much. Now even God can't do it. The first type of unbelief is, the age of miracles is gone. God doesn't work miracles now. That's the first type of unbelief. The second type is, now that one is worse. But tell God he can't do it. If God were to open the windows of heaven, can these things be? Now remember, don't ever dabble into that. Say, only God knows, it's better. Do you follow my point? Please, if you don't tackle faith, the will of God is never done. If you don't bring yourself up in faith, you will not experience the will of God. What you keep on experiencing is that decree that God has given. Now, a number of things are put together when God is using for this decree. First of all, is his will. Number two is our behavior, our moral character, our words, our faith, how we reach out to him. That's number two. Forces that come out from us towards him. That's the second reason. The second thing. The third thing is intercession. Prayers said on our behalf. Supplications made by we ourselves. Those are the three things God puts together when he issues forth his decree. He looks at his will. Then he looks at what you are emitting. For example, it's possible for you to emit things like bad behavior towards your parents. And he had put down a precept. You must honor your father and your mother if he's going to be well with you and you will live long. It's a precept in scripture. So God wants his will. You will live to be 100, you will fulfill your destiny. In the next line, behavior. You lie to your father. You respect your mother. You speak evil of your parents outside. Everything has now been twisted against you. Satan carries it and presents it before the judgment throne of God. That begins to work against God's will for your life. But there's another thing that can modify it. Intercession. Somebody is praying for you. You are praying for yourself. You start doing things. You ask God, have mercy upon me. You get into prayer. Now that brings forth mercy and it triumphs over judgment and catapults you back into the center of God's will as much as it's possible. Please, I'm emphasizing why your experience does not determine the will of God. Why my experience does not determine the will of God. How do we then know the will of God? That which he wrote for us. Is why John's words, which he took from what he heard from the Lord himself, you must believe it. Knowing the will of God is a foundation for the release of his power. Because you don't want to go against him. You don't want turbulence in your life. Let me teach you small science. If you don't want turbulence, you know all the things we learn? How to go with the flow. Do you get my point? Yeah. You know? Okay, let me teach those who don't know. All right? Take a bucket of water. Put your hand in and start stirring it. Or a cup. Put a spoon in and start stirring. Okay? You see, the whole thing just looks nice. Gives you a nice little well pool there. All right? Then try and move in the other direction. What happens immediately? The whole thing goes, starts scattering. That's what we call turbulence. So the first one is called laminar flow. It's just going neatly. You know, you enter into the rivers of Zion. It's carrying you to where God wants you to go. But when you start swimming across, going up and down, you spoil the whole water. Do you get my point? So you don't want to go against God's will. If you are going to have quick results to prayer, the fundamental thing that it must be in laminar flow, it must be in alignment with the flow of God. What's the flow of God? His will. So John said it. We know he hears us. If we pray how? In accordance with what? His flow. Thank you. His will. If you pray in accordance with his will. So number one way to activate prayer is to make sure you know the will. You should know the will. Many times people are praying things that God did not will. What now? Please, let me explain again. The will is not that which God thinks, what do we do now? I think this is good. No. Before you were born, the will was written. Before you came on the scene, the will was written. The will doesn't vary. It's the will. It's been written. And Jesus said it like this, thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. Literally means as it exists in heaven. People often misread it as it is done in heaven. He didn't say so. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is. God is. He that comes to God must believe that he is. In the same grammatical construct, he says, the will is. So thy will be done as it exists in heaven. How does it exist? We know it is written in his books. So the will is written. And John went to the will of God one day and asked him a question. What do you desire for those who walk in the truth? And the will said that they prosper and be in health. That's what is written. You learn that from Jesus Christ. That they prosper and be in health. Please, your experience will not change this. Don't even let it. Don't let somebody else's experience change it. I know sometimes it can be discouraging if you are ill in a particular way. And somebody who has that same illness suffered or maybe died, your faith will just go down. Don't let it happen. You know, there are things that one of the ways you handle your faith is you talk. Open your mouth and talk. Say, even though this brother was sick like this and he died, his life is not the will of God. Say it. Then go and look for stories, testimonies of those who God healed. And say, the same God, look at what he did. Why didn't he heal that person? So I don't know. I've told you, I don't know is a good answer. Do you know, I've heard not only one, okay? But I heard the prophet say, the Lord appeared to him and he asked, Lord, can I ask you a question? The Lord said, go ahead. We prayed for my sister and she died. Why didn't you heal her? You know what the Lord said to him? Let's summarize it. None of your business. He quoted a scripture for him. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. Said the secret things belong to God. The ones that are revealed, they belong to us and our children. So that we can obey the law. In fact, the words the Lord gave him is that what happened is between your sister and I. And it's not of your business. Now you go and teach the word I have commanded you to do. And pray for the sick like I have told you to do. The apostle will tell the story of how he prayed. They told him that his wife She had a form, I think a form of melanoma or something on the face. And the only treatment they could give was going to disfigure her. He told God, no, I won't agree for that. If you won't keep her for me, take her away. Don't mess her face for me. I don't know exactly how he prayed, but you know what happened? The woman got totally well. 100% healed. The doctor was like, wow. He said something. His daughter fell ill, had leukemia. And he prayed. He prayed the same prayer that he prayed before, using different words. But he added one thing that, God, if we're not going to solve this one, I don't want her to suffer. Doctor said she will live for another 6 months. She died in 3 weeks. Doctors were surprised again. They were surprised. What is going on here? A few weeks after he prayed, the young woman was dead. Because how he prayed the prayer, I don't know the details. So which story now do you want to now use to determine the will of God? None of the above. What is the will of God? The one that is recorded. That's it. Now let me tell you the will of God. That you prosper and be in health.
Amen.
Let's say it again. Now say after me. Say, this is the will of God concerning me.
This is the will of God concerning me.
That I prosper,
that I prosper
and be in health.
And be in health.
Say, prosperity is the will of God for me. Say, total, complete, full health is the will of God for me.
Total, complete, full health is the will of God for me.
That's it. I didn't say it's to this experience. So don't say, if that is the case, why was I sick yesterday? That's as you are talking right now, you don't know what's going on inside my chest. I have an appointment tomorrow. Doctor said I should go and do a scan. Did I tell you that your life is the will of God? You experience the will of God? No. It just means you have not yet experienced the will of God. So you need to pray a prayer. Thy will be done in my life as it is recorded in heaven. It means has disease, go away from my life as it is recorded in heaven. Weak bones as a result of age, go away from my life as it is recorded in heaven. Do you get what I'm saying? Arthritis, leave me as it is recorded in heaven. One thing that I think was Larry D that said it pretty long ago, he said, well, that prayer itself is even, is well, maybe not, at least one way you can apply it. He said, it's a command. He said, it's not a supplication, it's a command. Will of God be done. Will of God be done. It's not, hey, God, though, if you can just manage your wills, throw small, con this side. Just give us small will. How much will you get there? 100. Can I borrow one? No, that is not that kind of prayer. It's forceful. You're enforcing it in your life. The will of God be done. Be done. Will of God be done. What am I teaching? Establishing for us again that it is the will of God. That's the primary teaching now. Establishing that total, complete health is the will of God. Dementia is not the will of God. Now, please, let me spend a moment and talk about excuses for Satan again. Stop cooperating with Satan. Tell your neighbor, stop. Say, stop cooperating with Satan. No, I need you to tell somebody. You're not talking. Tell somebody and say, stop. Stop cooperating with Satan. Thank you. Which kind of thing with that one? In fact, Vine Nation should put that inside the home movie. No cooperation. That would be a nice title for a movie. No cooperation. No, think about it. A thief wants to come to your house. You now say, I won't be home. See, this is a key to. Do you get my point? You go and put the key where you know the thief is looking, or his brother is looking. You put the key there. You are cooperating with the thief. Do you get my point?
Yes.
It's important we don't cooperate with Satan. You know how we cooperate with Satan? His mouth. Of course, it starts from the heart. But it's with our mouth. God says, all right, this is my will. My people, you've been in Egypt for a long time. Now we have delivered you. You saw my power? They said yes. Okay? Now how many plagues did I do? They say, sir, 10. Good. The first three, you guys suffered more from it. You know the reason why. They say we do. Okay, fine. Now, the other seven, he did not touch you, no. Okay, after the 10 plagues. Remember the Red Sea? Yes. Aha! You saw my power, we did. Now, enter the promised land. collect your possession. They entered. They sent 12 spies. 10 came back and said, no, I don't think we can do it. Now, you know why? Satan went in with them. Satan stopped them on the road. Say, where are you guys going? Say, we are going. We are spies from Israel. We want to go and spy the promised land. See how we will take. How are we going to move on and get there? The spies said, Satan said, come. Look, what's your average height? Well, we're like 5'10". That's fine, 5'10". Not too bad, not too bad. All right, so this land is very good land. It showed them everything. There's only one problem. The guys are only currently, they are on average height. If anybody has 5'10 amongst them, maybe like 8 years old. They are on average height. just about 12 feet. So, get out of here. You're joking, right? Which? Then one passes. Ah, so that guy, his name is Goli. Goli. Yeah, Goli behaves people. That's why they. This was Satan. It was their guide. Took them around, showed them everything. Do you still want to come to this land? They look at each other and say, no, 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 no. In Egypt, where, in fact, the last person who won the Mr. Olympia Egypt, it was a Jew. Let's go to Egypt. They went and told Moses and co, we cannot enter. You know what that is called? Cooperating with Satan. See, Satan does not have the kind of power we think he does. If you don't cooperate with him, he can't do anything. Did he force Eve to eat? You know why he didn't force Eve? He could not. Did he drive Adam and Eve out of the garden with energy? No. You know why he didn't? He could not. The only thing he could do is say, guys, walk with me on this thing now. Walk with me here. This is how do we do it? Did God say, yeah, he did. Yeah, it's not true. He will not surely die. Eat. Then Eve suddenly saw, this fruit is actually good. I told you. She cooperated with Satan. Next point. Those who cooperate with Satan are very reasonable. They are not extremists. They are not stupid. In fact, they are very pragmatic. They are honest. They are people that like to say it the way it is. After all, with an average height of 5'10", does it make sense to follow people that who their new teenagers are 5'10"? They are full-grown warriors at 12 feet. No, does it make sense? Doesn't make sense. It's all these extremists who can't face reality. That the one that will be saying we can enter when they've seen giants. That the ones that say that by faith, God being with us, we can destroy the giants. I think they're the only ones that go to church. Look, faith is practical. You have to be realistic. How can you tell me that you want to face the future? You don't have savings. This is the problem I have with Christians. They don't have sense. Now, there's nothing I'm telling you now that I've not heard before. One day, I wasn't feeling well. Someone auntie asked me, what is wrong with you? I said, I'm okay. Hey, somebody, you know, this Christian, they will never admit they are not well. I said, then why are you asking me? No, that's what I asked them. So, what is your problem? You want me to use my mouth? That was the story I told you before, that the day I had chicken pox and I prayed and it disappeared in 24 hours. That was the time. Are you okay? I said, yes. And I said, don't mind you. You know these people. These Christians, that's how they do. I said, so why are you not asking? You know what I'm going to tell you. You want me to use my mouth? If you ask me before I pray, it's a different matter. I just finished praying. You know? Satan. I just finished praying. I don't have a prayer with it. I'm not, but I have finished praying. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Declare what God is doing in your life. One day I told you I was in school. Those days, anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry. Biochemistry was just too volatile. I don't know why some subjects are like that. Until now, children still don't like organic chemistry. Organic chemistry is another word for biochemistry. So I went and prayed. I told God has been working on my matter for a long time. So I was in university. So I went and prayed. Ah, God. No, young people, you have to learn to pray. Honestly, I learned to pray. Now, when I say learn to pray, can I digress? I don't mean learn how to shout. I don't mean learn how to gyrate. I didn't say learn how to groan. I didn't say learn how to be excited. I said learn how to go to the Father and said, Father, I beg, can I talk to you? I have some requests. I make it in faith. When I say in faith, now you go to him, expecting that he listening. That day I went and prayed. I remember very honestly. I said, God, there are three subjects. There is anatomy, there's physiology, there's biochemistry. I said, this is biochemistry. If I read it in the morning, by evening, I've forgotten it. I said, Lord, help me so I can learn it, so I can pass my exam. Thank God for understanding that these teachings, instructions I've been having. The first thing came to my mind, now you will stop saying it is volatile. Number two, you will read it. Because what used to happen is I get to class. I only come with two subjects. I read for like 15, 20 minutes, then I'm tired. So I'll dump it. I can read physiology for in fact, there was a time my classmates said they read the whole night. Eh? I decided to read a whole night. I read for 12 hours. Look, it was just a day. I saw my classmates said they read 12 hours. Ah! A human being read 12 hours? I looked at them, look, what? You guys, 12 hours? And they said, yeah, I did. Ah! Oh, who let me do this class? Why not they read 12 hours? So I said, okay. I went to class by 3 p.m. Apart from twice, once I went to go out, each second I went to take a stroll, I read till 3:30 in the morning. Yes. 3 p.m. to 3:30, took only two breaks. Total of maybe about an hour. One to go and eat, one just to stretch my legs. I've been sitting for so long. Yeah, 12 hours. I dare young people with disease to do it. It's good. It doesn't kill, really. Yeah, by the time you finish, you'll still be healthy. I remember. I did it twice. To show that the first one was not a mistake. I did it after some days. I went again the second time. After I'd done it twice, my conscience was now clear that these boys are not superior to me. Did it twice. Anyway, where am I going? Second instruction the Lord gave. Of course, those that I didn't know was the Lord. Just thoughts. Now, start reading it like you read the other subjects. So I said, okay, Lord, fine. So I left that with two instructions in my heart. One, stop saying it's volatile. Two, start reading it like you read other subjects. I said, okay. I just finished praying. I came to class, sat down. And this guy came to my side, sat beside me, opened biochemistry, and said, ha, biochemistry is volatile. I looked at him. I said, now I know what he looks like. I never knew Satan was like that until that day. I remember him to today. I remember his full names. I lifted up my head to normal gist, and please, never use gist, just agree with people on bad things. This government is used there. You didn't think so. You are just coming from church, just pray for the government. But your guys are now talking, you must say too. Yes, they are all used there. Can you say, how can we be in band A when we are now paying? You don't talking things you don't understand. Because you want to be woke, like Americans say. You want to belong. Nonsense. Anyway, I lifted my head to agree with him. And I remembered that I was just coming from prayer. I don't think up to an hour before that. I turned to him. I said, biochemistry is not volatile. He didn't answer. I turned to him again. He was sitting beside me. I said, biochemistry is not volatile. My body never cooled down. So I turned to him the third time. I said, biochemistry is not volatile. The guy said, uh-uh. Like... Waiting now, waiting. What's all of this? What if you know volatile? Must it turn to fight? Let me just to end the testimony. Exam. 5 questions. God gave me 4. Read these 4 before I enter for the exam. And I remember the questions till today. I wrote that exam in 1988. I remember the questions till today. Out of 5, I just read 4. And for the last one, I had an option of 4 other questions. They gave us 8 questions. Pick any 5. They gave us 3 hours. At the end of 2 hours and a few minutes, I was done. I said something must be wrong. I started again. After about 15 minutes of going line by line, checking all the equations, checking everything. It's okay now. I left the exam hall. Saved like 45 minutes. Because God just gave... At least he was... Expose 4 questions. 3 immediately before walking in, 1 the night before. Exam was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We did the objective in the morning. I read 3 during the break before the 2 o'clock exam. The 4th one the night before. To show that God answered me. Why am I telling this whole story again? I've told it many times. It's to bring out the issue that you don't cooperate with Satan. That Satan came in that day. I wanted to say, what will you say with your mouth? And I refused. What do I mean by excuse for Satan concerning health? Stop explaining away everything to justify the presence of something in your body. It's my genes. Basically meaning there's nothing I can do about it. It's my age. You go cut your age? Will you go to court and swear affidavit against God? Lord, I'm 60 years old, but because 50-year-old people are healthier than I am. Go to, I just swear affidavit, I'm now 50. One man did it the other day in, was in Germany. He went to court, said he wants to cut his age by 20. He should be 60. He said, now he's 40 years old. So he went and swore an affidavit, I want to identify as a 40-year-old man. They said, why? He said, if a woman can identify as a man, why can't I, instead of transgender, I'm trans-age? The matter went to court. He sued the local government. They did not recognize his new age. He lost the case, but I laughed. I said, it's a matter of time. He will soon win it. He said, now I want to be recognized as a 40-year-old. Because being seen as a 60-year-old is limiting my ability to get a job and to find a girlfriend. Those are the things he wrote. So henceforth, I want to be recognized as a 40-year-old. What's the one I'm making? You can't change your age. So why are you using that as an excuse? You don't see clearly again. You say, it's my age. You can't walk from here to 9th mile. Again, he said, you know my age. And when you say it long enough, heaven starts saying amen to it. What is the will of God? See, the will of God, there are 2 men in the scriptures that showed it to us clearly. Apart from the fact that God wrote it clearly in Psalm 92, that should mark the righteous man. Even if he's old, you still look like a young tree, green and full of sap. He said that one clearly. He said, as his age, so will his strength be. Now, 2 people illustrated for us. Moses was 120 years old. Now, if you say, maybe those days. No. The Bible now qualified that contrary to expectation, his eyes did not grow dim and his strength did not abate. In case you do not know, Moses used to climb mountains to go and meet with God. The second man, remember his name, Caleb. He was 40 years old when he came back from spying the land, of which 10 spies talked nonsense, cooperating with Satan. He and Joshua, they stood their ground on the side of God. And God blessed him. At the age of 85, he went to his brother, Joshua. He said, Joshua, remember that day we came back here? Remember that Moses, the man of God, he said that this mountain will be mine. He said, no, I want to take it. He said, don't worry about strength. He said, God has preserved my strength. As my strength was then, so it is now, for going out and for battle. Ah. So Joshua said, if that's the case, go ahead. I hear, but he just needed him to say, go. And he, his sons, and the men with him, they went to the battle. And I like the way the Bible says it. He said, that is a place that used to be called Kiriath Arba. And Arba was the greatest of the Anakim. The land of Arba. That's the one he went to take. The land of the giants. The biggest giant, his name was Arba. That place was where his sons stayed. Then he renamed it Hebron. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, because I follow the Lord my God fully. See, one thing I like about words, they don't charge for it. One of the things you have to learn in life is how to talk properly. No, it's a look. Satan works hard in delaying our tongue. The society works hard in delaying our tongue. The corrupt words, corrupt things, just want to derail the tongue, make it say things that are not right. Sometimes, you know, young people, we used to do it. Those days, I don't do it anymore. The way you yap each other every day in the morning is a bad word, and it's funny. Say, a guy, they go for it. Say, man, my ugly guy, how far now? Hey, he's an idiot, I do. That is, and It's greeting. It's a satanic greeting. What do I call it? Satanic greeting. Go and learn how to greet people. Say, hey, man of God, how far? I say, hey, angel, how are you doing? The way I'm looking at you, like, looks like you want to fly in the spirit. Say things like that. Make joke out of things that are good. Say, the way they see your eye like this, if you look demon, they go hellfire. Do you get my point? And it's a joke. But it's a good joke. You know, I tell people that crack jokes, that if it's taken literally, to be a good thing. Because if I look at demon like that, they all go to hellfire. Is that no peace for Nigeria? Do you follow my point? You look at a woman. I say, madam, and she's 55, 60. So you're looking so nice. Looks like you're going to have twins next year. All the women here are protesting. It's a good thing. If it happens, it's not a testimony. Not that you see a 35-year-old woman say you look like an old woman. It's not funny. It's not funny. It's not funny at all. It's not funny. It's not funny. It's not funny at all. Ah, what nonsense is that? It's not funny at all. Let's take it the other way around. You say, woman, 70. Ah, mommy, you look like Sarah. Is that not good? She gets the point. You know, let's joke with things that if God confirms it. I say, mommy, sorry, you go born twins. It's not my fault. It's God. She may complain initially, but after a while it becomes a testimony. Praise the Lord. I thought I was past childbearing, but we thank God. That day, this man of God just said a word to me. Hallelujah. We go write a book. We don't go write a book. But if you call a 35-year-old woman, you'll be like old woman. She'll now look 70 next day. The thunder that's coming after you. Let's just leave it there. What am I saying? We don't cooperate with Satan for any reason. Like I said to you, those who cooperate with Satan are the most reasonable people. They're really very reasonable. They don't like to lie. They like to tell the truth. They don't want to carry this faith thing too far. They like to be down to earth. They don't want to be look like they're the only ones that have faith. After all of us can have faith. We're all children of God. Have you heard that thing before? Fat lie. If we're all children of God, why did he give some the power to become? It's not like we're all children of God. If anybody tells you that, they want you to marry an unbeliever. We are not all children of God. If we were, why did he give some the power? Don't try to be popular. Don't try to be, you know, to blend. Those who cooperate with Satan, they are very nice. You know, that's what's happening in the love of our Western world now. They want inclusiveness. Got to be inclusive. You don't want to alienate anybody. Even a pope will tell you that, who am I to judge? You are the pope. You are supposed to judge. After all, you say you are the vicar of Christ on the earth. If Christ cannot judge, who will judge? Is it them? It's called inclusiveness. I want to be inclusive. I want everybody to feel comfortable. Hey, and in your sin, if you feel comfortable, may God close my ministry. Why should you feel comfortable when you are walking in sin? And I'm preaching to you every day. You are still comfortable. No, God. Father God, I pray for you. So I pray to you that my ministry will not close by you making sure no sinner feels comfortable around me. You are welcome, but you should not be happy in that chair. You should be doing like this as I'm preaching. Something should be biting you and you won't be able to go. We'll pin you down. You will suffer for 2 hours as I minister at the end of the day. Your sins will leave you alone. I don't want inclusive. I don't want to be inclusive. I want to exclude sinners who don't want to repent. That's what Satan does. He tells you, no, just say it. Just explain to them that, you know, you are of Mediterranean origin and your age. So you have this kind of macular degeneration of the eye, so you won't see well again. So when they say, sir, you don't see well again. You know, I'm of Mediterranean origin. I'm from this part. And then at this... Satan will say, yeah, how can he? Correct. And over the next few years, you teach all your children. Everybody will be going blind in your family once they cross 50. Because they are. Tell them, say, see, what is flesh is flesh. What is spirit is spirit. From that spirit, life is being given to my mortal body. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is working in me, is giving what? Life to my mortal body. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. We are not cooperating with Satan. Look, call me a fanatic. That's your problem. Call me unreasonable. That's your problem. I will say it again and again. This is the will of God concerning me. That I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. This is the, that is no explanation necessary. I will keep on affirming that which God has said. You know, the Bible says in the beginning that God came, he looked and the, you know, on the surface of the earth, everywhere was dark. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God came and started saying, Kai, see darkness. See darkness. This darkness is plenty. Oh? What happened? Is this Nigeria or America? Why is the darkness here? There's nothing somebody can do under these circumstances. Oh. This darkness is a lot. The politicians have created darkness. The spirits that were here, they are just bad spirits. Darkness, darkness. Look, let's just go to Mars and see what we can do on Mars. Now, was that what the Spirit of God did? What did he do? He brooded and then erupted and said, And Moses said, what was that? They said, just write light, let there be light. So Moses wrote, let there be light. And there was light. I said, okay, that was what he said. Because there was no language. Who was there to hear Hebrew? For God to have spoken Hebrew. Some of the guys said God spoke Hebrew. That's a joke. I hope you know. Some men of God who just think God is a Jew. God is not a Jew. I'm picking my point. God is God. You know, God didn't speak any language because the language has to be what somebody is there to hear. He was speaking to the deep. So he had to speak deep. Do you get my point? Yeah, that's the language. If he's speaking to Igbos, he will speak what? Igbo. If he's speaking to Yoruba, what will he speak? When he's speaking to the deep, what will he say? Speak deep now. So that's why I say what I say. That he looked at, and there was light. When Moses heard it later, Moses wrote, let there be light. What am I going to say? You don't sit down at your life and be commenting. Now, this is how they are in my family. We always go blind. Our hearts don't last long. By the time we are 50, we start having heart problem. My grandfather had a kidney disease. My grandmother had a kidney disease. So I go for a kidney checkup regularly now. And you think you are wise. You're not wise. You're telling us about your grandfather every day, your grandmother, and giving us reasons why you two should have kidney disease. And now, to you, wisdom is that you go for a kidney checkup. No, now. Let me tell you, when you have a story like that to tell in your life, you should read more Bible than usual. Now, no, you see, the reason is because the thing has dropped in your heart. So you are fighting it off. You have to read more Bible. You must. Let me tell you, in fact, and never talk about your grandfather. Say, this, you are giving me too many things to think about. Not talking about your grandchildren. But you never born them yet. And this is when you can form them completely. That's the way it's supposed to be. You go and sit down in Hebrews chapter, Romans chapter 8 and Isaiah chapter 53. You sit in those places. You sit in Psalm 92. You sit there. You sit there every day. You record it. You cram it. The word is alive. You keep. No, there are statements that you need to learn. Even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Say, if the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in me, he will give life to my mortal body. You keep on saying that. You say that. You say that. How your kidneys is hearing. They are listening to the word of God. You preach to them. Father, I thank you because the power of creation, the power of life is in Christ Jesus. And I have believed. I walk in the light. I look to him attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze. Therefore, I speak life. Because we'll talk about it. When God has granted something, he instructs you to command what he has granted. Did you hear what I said? When God grants you something, that is when you start commanding what he has granted. And what I'm teaching is what he has granted. Last time I said, listen, sin is a foundation for sickness. It doesn't have to be you. It can just be your heritage. It doesn't mean you did something specifically bad. It just means there is sin. Sin is a force. And that force is forgiven and wiped out by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So anything you are feeling, like we said last time, is an oppression. It's oppression. It's oppression. It's oppression because you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. Why? You've been liberated in Christ Jesus. Open your Bible quickly to John chapter 11. I want to show something here. It's a story we all know. The first line tells us the summary of the story. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and the sister Martha. They're all siblings actually. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Now, time will not let me. It's a story we know, you know very well, so let me not sit on it. But I want to quickly get down to a number of verses. Now, you know the story, so let me just get quickly to some things. Let me start from 17. I'll just jump to the verse I want. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in a tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. No, they had guests. Mary then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, notice verse 22. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Then she misunderstood. She said, verse 24, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. You know, he had taught them that. Jesus said, you misunderstood me. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. Oh, they stoned Paul and he died. Jesus said, he that believes in him will live, even if he dies. When it was not time for Paul to go, he had to get up. If you see a saint that died and remained dead, something had to convince both him and the Lord for him to go. No saint is allowed to die until between he and the Lord, she and the Lord, they come into an agreement. It's not a game of chance. It's that he who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Said, do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Now, please notice that. Then she went and called Mary. Mary said the same thing. And then, I'm jumping verses. Now, go to verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, that was Mary now weeping. Okay, let's just back up. Verse 32. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews came who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. Now, please, if you read my book, I think there's one book I wrote this in, on How to Work for God. I explained there that by the walk in prayer, the literal Hebrew, Greek here says, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled himself. And troubled himself. What was he doing? That was when he began to pray with groanings that could not be uttered. They said to him, Lord, come and see. He asked them, where have you laid him? Please notice that one. He troubled himself. That was when I wanted to read King James there. He said, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I need to bring out that groaning. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Please follow this. 34, he said, where have you laid him? They said, come and see. The shortest verse in the Bible next, Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man also from dying? Then Jesus came, verse 38, go to verse 38 again. So Jesus again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Now this way I'm going, it was to arrive here. He groaned, he troubled himself, My interpretation is that that was when he prayed, or at least finished the prayer he had been praying. I believe that that was when he concluded the prayer. Let's say when the breakthrough, I don't know how to say that, but he prayed. We know he offered prayers. How do we know? Look at it, we are clear. When they got there, they told them, remove the stone. They said, there will be a stone. Jesus said in verse 40, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, now listen to this carefully. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it. So that they may believe that you sent me. That they saying it aloud is something that I know. I could have said it personally, but I'm saying it aloud so that they will understand the basis upon which this miracle is going to happen. This miracle will happen because I asked the Father and he granted me. Do you get my point? Remember, Martha said it, even now, I know that whatever you ask the Father, he will give to you. I hope you're getting my point. So what do we know? We know the story ahead, so let's just summarize. He asked God to give him back what? Lazarus. He asked God to reverse the decay in the life of in the body of Lazarus. He asked God that Lazarus might live again. Is that not what he asked? No, is that not common sense? Good. What now happened? Lazarus now came out of the tomb. Now, first, did God answer him? No, answer. Did God answer Jesus Christ? Did he grant what he requested? Did Lazarus come out of the tomb like that? No, he didn't. After I finished the prayer, he said clearly, I know you have heard me. Indeed, you always hear me. I'm just saying this so that these people will hear. He said, now, Lazarus, come forth. Many things that God has given you, you need to call it forth. That's the message. I was talking about cooperating with Satan. You know what we do? We go to the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus, you are dead. You left us. Lazarus, 4 days. It's now 5 days. You decayed yesterday. You are still decaying today. Lazarus. It's called commentary. Most commentaries cooperate with Satan. Most commentaries cooperate with Satan. I used to have a conflict. They're trying to balance doctrines. But in recent times, I now understood it. We don't have the right as believers to just go around commanding everything. We don't. But we have the ears of the Father. We can ask him for things. And when we have finished asking him for things in accordance with his will, he now looks and says, Moses, why is he shouting? You, get up and go and divide the Red Sea. Do you get my point? That's what he does. After we have asked, God now says, oh yeah, now I've granted it to you. We now go and wait outside. When is Lazarus coming forth? God said he won't come forth until you call him forth. So that's what happened. Our authority comes from faith in the answer that the Father has given. So if you have money issues, you've prayed. Why? It's the will of God that you prosper and be in good health. So you wake up in the morning. Say, money in the name of Jesus, come. My needs be met in the name of Jesus. Supply, you are coming. You are coming. I command you to come. What I need to meet all my needs, come in the name of Jesus. That is when you can look at the storm and say, shh, quiet. Why? You know the Father has heard. If God has granted you health, that's one issue about us believers. You know, we are too afraid, you get my point, to call Lazarus forth. And what am I doing? I'm teaching to say, listen, call forth Lazarus. Stop making excuses for Satan. Stop cooperating with him. Stop cooperating with him. Stop. The things that God has granted, many of them require us to call them forth. It's like fight, like the warfare that you're supposed to get involved in the promised land. There are giants, take a sword. Take the sword of the spirit and attack the giant. Do you get my point? And listen, I like one thing. This man that used to teach it. What's the name of this fellow? Corey Blake. Yeah. He attacks things by quoting scriptures. Do you get my point? If you don't know what to say, say to that in the commanding tone, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's not like, look, you can use that scripture to talk to the Father. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And the same scripture, you look at your pocket. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They get the point. You know some banks, not some banks, all banks. There's something they do at the end of the month, which are very annoying. You just get a lot. Pim, 50 naira, card maintenance fee, debit. You thought you wanted to tell you something serious. You're here, pim, something, something, debit. And then, why don't you just wait till the second week so that at least your alerts will have made people happy? You shouldn't be sending us debit alerts at the end of the month. Unless it's debit for interest paid. But just that kind of thing, you get like this. Maybe the account balance before was at 1,005. So you're like, okay, money will soon enter. 30th of the month, you get pim. You open it. It's now 1,450. Because this guy has collected card maintenance fee. There's one bank behind me here. They do that to me all the time. I think the only one's maintaining card. Do you understand? I have another bank. They don't. I just use their card. They won't give me a special one. I don't know why they think I'm special, but they're in the spirit. One day, when they say, your card is platinum. I said, oh, thank you. Until they debited me, I said, oh, you guys didn't tell me you charge extra money for giving us. You said, no, that card, they package it, put it in a case. The Lord is good. Now, where am I going? So you get the alert like that. Balance is now down 1,450. There are two ways to react. Why are they not paying salaries? What's going on in this country? Why did they beat my this thing? What sanctions did I make? I don't understand this bank itself. Lazarus will not come out. This is what keeps Lazarus in the grave. He will rot some more till tomorrow. Tomorrow will be broker than today. Do you get my point? When you see that Allah, just look at it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do you follow my point? Brethren, we are not cooperating with Satan. We will not give any excuse. Do you get my point? Please, can I just beg you? Avoid too many commentaries and stories. The price of tomato is not your problem. Because everything I see, everybody telling me tomato, I say, I gave somebody a lift today, one woman in my office. I said, so how do you? I said, no, I don't cook with tomato again. No. What do you do? And I'm not teaching recipe now. She gave me one very nice recipe that avoids fresh tomato. The Lord is good. Now, let me give you an instruction. Everybody listen to this instruction from the Spirit, okay? You are forbidden from running commentaries on economic hardship. How will your life experience miracles now? If you are there running commentaries all the time. Double the reading of Psalm 23. Yeah, double it. Add Psalm 121 to it. When everybody is telling you about a tomato price, recite Psalm 23. Just a few verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Recite it. Hey, there's cholera out. No, Nigeria now is because there's a cholera outbreak. I don't know how you'll be reading it. Now you can go and sit down, tell your children, wash your fruit before you eat it. See, let me tell you about disease. They have a spirit. How they take enter, you know, gunu. I'm telling you, tackle that spirit first. You don't mean, listen, I'm warning all of you in this house. I don't want to drink cholera. Who's eating fruit there without washing it? Hey, what is wrong with you? Don't you read the news? These children even won't kill me. I've said this like 20 times now. Will anybody eat any fresh fruit in this house from today? Because you read newspaper. See, cholera, this never even come near where you do. You hear the rumor, you don't fear. That's natural human response. What are you supposed to do? I told you, no commentary from today. I ban you by the Spirit of God from running commentaries on economic hardship. You know what you do? 220 for one unit. They want to kill someone. Did I beg to be in band A? Like one of my guys said, they've written a code DC to move them to band B. I said, people are not normal. You think they will listen to you? With all the money people have. I said, listen, band A, band B is not negotiation. It's not, please, move us to band A so you can be paying, move us to band B. They looked. We are giving you 20 hours and above. You are band A. That is, look all the story you are telling. Now, this is where I'm going. Stop running those commentaries. Did I beg to be in band B? You're going to buy band A? When you just see the power issues, you buy unity, don't finish. Speak to Lazarus with the word of God. That's the easy way. Say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will have all the powers that I need in Jesus' name. You are talking to your CIU. Is it CIU they call it? That customer interface unit. You put, let's not count you, you put money. You put 15K at the beginning of the week. At the end of the week, 15K don't go. There's nothing about to die. Look at him. What did Jesus do? He groaned. He troubled himself. You see, all of us must learn how to do like what we really are, occultists. With the deepest cause now, we did there. What are you doing? I'm speaking to this power unit. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will have all the power units that I need in the name of Jesus. Now, how he's going to do it, I will not discuss that. He has a variety of ways of solving problems. I'll just leave it there. But that you will be in darkness because you don't have money, it won't happen. When they tell you tomato, one fat tomato, now it's now 1.5. One. Laugh. And say, you have to talk to this Lazarus. Say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will have all the food and nutrients and tomato, whatever it is, the soup, everything, stew that I need in Jesus' name. And leave it there. When they want, this is a problem. APC, they want to kill us. Say, nobody can kill me. My life is hid with Christ in God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'll have everything that I need in Jesus' name. You know the will of God? That you prosper and be in health. What am I teaching? Understand how to handle the dead Lazarus that God has given you back. You have to. Understand how to handle that dead Lazarus. Many of us, God has granted us, but we don't talk to Lazarus. We just assume that Lazarus will just get up and say, man, don't die, don't tell. Die, don't tire me. Lie. Lazarus won't. The Lazarus that God has given you back must hear a command. Hear what I said? I'll say it again. The Lazarus that God has granted you back must hear a command. The Lazarus that God has granted you back to life must hear a command. So listen, that is why Jesus came to enforce the deliverance. The people that had been delivered, what Jesus came, all right, with the anointing to command what God has given them. Listen, the Bible makes it clear to us, Jesus did not heal anybody that was not under oppression. There were those that their sickness was not oppression. It was lawful. It was right. You think everybody healed? Some people want to yap preachers. Hey, if you know God heals, go to the hospital and heal everybody. I said, Jesus didn't do that. There was only one hospital we saw in the Bible. That's in the Gospels. Do you remember that hospital? Where was that? The pool. They had five porches. How many of the sick people did he heal? One. You now want me to go to UNT and heal everybody. Something like Jesus did not do. I mean, leave me. Don't even try to threaten me. If you don't want to believe, it's your problem. He said, if you know that, really, go, okay, come to the hospital. Come and heal this people. Where did you see Jesus do that? Heal somebody to demonstrate anything to anybody. If you didn't come to him with faith, he didn't answer you. You have to even beg him. You have to beg him. Son of David, have mercy on me. He said, come. Kazo, now. What do you want me to do for you? I want to see. Then he'll pray for you. Then 10 lepers will come to him. Not, are you sure you're the son of God? Let's go to the lepers' colony. You think he'll follow you? Okay, I'm sure. You are not sure. Go. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
Did you go around healing everybody? He healed all who were oppressed. Now, who were those that were oppressed? Those that God had forgiven. Those that had gone to John in baptism. Those who had followed him in the early parts of his ministry before the healing began to pour out. When the disciples of John that began to follow him were baptizing. Those were the people that he went to go and heal. And John said it, I'm happy you are walking in the truth. And if you are walking in the truth, you should prosper. And what? Be in health. What is the truth? Jesus Christ. What's the truth? The word of God. You are walking by faith in Jesus, following the precepts of God. Sickness is not your portion. Poverty is not your portion.
Amen.
You will prosper
Amen.
And be in health.
Amen.
You will prosper
Amen.
And be in health.
Amen.
I say you will prosper
Amen.
And be in health.
Amen.
You will prosper
Amen.
And be in health.
Amen.
You will prosper
Amen.
And be in health.
Amen.
Do you know why? Because the Father has granted it. I'm giving you the word of the Lord. The Father has granted your health.
Amen.
The Father has granted your healing.
Amen.
The Father has granted your health.
Amen.
The Father has granted your healing.
Amen.
The Father has granted your health. He has granted total health for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me say it again. You have been forgiven.
Amen.
What's the next assignment? You must speak to our Lazarus. Everybody rise to your feet. For the next 15 minutes, we want to talk to Lazarus. Let's take a few minutes. Give the Lord thanks for the things that we have been learning. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Thank you for the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the truth that is in Christ Jesus. That I'm walking in the truth. I want you to take a few moments and give the Lord thanks for your life that you have believed. Say, Father, I thank you because you have caused me to believe. Thank you because you are... Are you thanking God or you are sleeping? Begin to itemize. Say, Lord, you have forgiven me all my sins. You have forgiven me the sins of the ancestors. You have forgiven me my own personal sins. You have wiped away the satanic nature out of me. Yes, before I was an unbeliever, but now I am in Christ Jesus. Before I was alienated from the gospel of Jesus, from the commonwealth of Israel, but now I have been brought in. Now give the Lord thanks for that. Thank you, Lord, because you found me and you saved me. Thank you because of the blood of Jesus was shed for me. Thank you, Lord, because the blood of Jesus was shed for me. The blood of Calvary was shed for me. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because that blood was shed for me, my sins have been forgiven. Now begin to give the Lord thanks for that. My sins have been forgiven. My sins have been forgiven. Sickness came as a result of sin, so my sicknesses have been forgiven with the sin. All things have passed away. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried with him in baptism. I have been buried with him. Now I have risen with him in newness of life. Sin is not part of me anymore. Sin does not have dominion over me. Declare, sin does not have dominion over me. Lord, I thank you, because indeed, sin does not have dominion over me, and sin is not in my life. Thank you, Lord, because I have been washed. Thank you, Lord, because I have been cleansed. Thank you, Lord, because every sin that I have committed in this life has been forgiven. I thank you, because the power of the blood of Jesus, oh, that blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. That blood, it washes clean. That blood was given as an atonement for my life. That blood was given as an atonement for my sin. That blood was given as a redemption, a propitiation. I have been forgiven. I have been declared righteous. Begin to give the Lord thanks for righteousness. That in Christ Jesus I have been made righteous. In Christ Jesus I have been made righteous. I have been called righteous. I have been called righteous. I have been called righteous. My life is new. I have the newness of life. I have the newness of life. I have the newness of life. Now, I want you to say it again and again. Christ is in me. Say that in at least 7 times. That Christ is in me. 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 The Spirit of Christ is in me. The Spirit of God is in me. Christ is in me. The Spirit of God is in me. Because indeed, my body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. I need you to give the Lord thanks for that and declare it. Christ is in me. Christ, this body harbors the Holy Spirit now. This body harbors the Spirit of Christ. Now, listen to this. You know what Paul said in Romans chapter 8? He said, if Christ is in you, he said, that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal body.
Amen.
Now begin to give the Lord thanks for that. You know what it means to give life to your mortal body? People misread that. He said, the body is dead and the Spirit is life. No, that's not what he said. He said the body was subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. He now explained it further down. He said, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. That same spirit will give life to your mortal body. So that you won't be thinking that it's resurrection body he's talking about. He said, this mortal body will receive life. It will, as long as you need it to work, it will work well. As long as it is working for you, it must work well. So give the Lord thanks for that. That the spirit of Christ is in me. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is giving life to my mortal body. You need to say that. This same spirit is giving life to my mortal body. Now let's do something. Say, I reject every excuse for Satan. Every excuse. Now begin to name those excuses, the one you have been using. My genes. What happened to me when I was young? My age. The food I don't have that I can't afford. My diet that has been wrong. Now all these excuses. Now even if some things were wrong, you have been forgiven now. So let's stop giving excuses. Away with excuses. Away with excuses. Say, Lord, henceforth, no excuses for Satan in my mouth. I repent of all the ones I recall and overturn. I withdraw all the excuses I have given. Why am I not prospering? Is the government in power? Why is my business not doing well? Is the dollar? Why excuses? They are all excuses for Satan. And we do that a lot. We discuss excuses for Satan and affirm them. Today we reject them. Every excuse you have, every explanation you have given for why things are not working is the excuse for Satan. Begin to renounce those excuses. Some people, you have not forgiven yourself of past sins. That is the excuse for Satan. Say, Lord, I reject every excuse I have given for Satan to hold me down. I am not a lawful captive. Every affliction in my life is oppression. And Jesus came to set me free from all oppression. Now, if you believe that God granted you back Lazarus, begin to give thanks for that. Thank you, Lord, you have granted me new kidneys. Thank you, Lord, you have granted me a new heart. Thank you, Lord, you have granted me strong eyes. Thank you, Lord, you have granted me fresh skin. Thank you, Lord, you have healed my body, my flesh, my bones. You have healed my blood. Thank you. Because I asked you. Because I asked. Say, Father, in fact, for formality's sake, just say, Father, all things you have promised, let it be real in my life in the name of Jesus. Let healing be real in my life in the name of Jesus. Let my kidneys be made new in the name of Jesus. Let diabetes go out of my life according to your word in the name of Jesus. These are the things that Jesus has cured for me. Lord, let my blood pressure be normal in the name of Jesus. Let my eye pressure be normal in the name of... Let my bones be strong in the name of Jesus. Let my joints be healed in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus has died for it and you have granted it for me. And the same spirit is in me. What are you saying? You are saying, Lord, your will be done in my life. That's the meaning of your will be done. The will doesn't mean that God, anything you like, let it happen. No, the will of God be done means this which you have spoken. This which you have recorded. Let it be done. Say, Lord, I declare that the age of miracles is here. You need to say that. Lord, I declare, I affirm that the age of miracles is here. The age of miracles is here. That age has not gone. That age has not passed. Since Jesus came, the Spirit came and it's been here. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and is here with us. The resurrection power came after the resurrection. He stayed behind with us. As a result of the resurrection, that power is here with us. I affirm that with God, nothing shall be impossible. I affirm that with my Father, nothing shall be impossible. I affirm that because of Jesus Christ, everything is mine. Everything is mine. All forms of miracles, all forms of healing, they are mine in the name of Jesus. Now let's speak like Jesus. Say, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you have granted these things. Aha. Now let's begin to speak to Lazarus. Everybody say, Lazarus,
Lazarus,
come forth.
Come forth.
Everybody say, Lazarus,
Lazarus,
come forth.
Come forth.
Everybody say, Lazarus,
Lazarus,
come forth.
Comfort.
Now begin to speak to your own Lazarus. Say in the name of Jesus, I see clearly. The same spirit. Now, you are using these words now to call him forth. Sound health in the kidneys. I've been repeating kidney again and again today. Come forth. Strength in my bones. Come forth. Abundant prosperity. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth. Put your hands wherever you want, wherever that pain has been disturbing you, whatever has been disturbing you, speak to it in the name of your healing. Come forth. Soundness. Come forth. Remember, you will prosper and be in health. So prosperity, come forth. Been granted. It's been granted. It's been granted. If you don't know what to say, just read the word over it. Say in the name of Jesus, the same spirit that raised us from the dead is giving life, has given life. Life. Enter. Drive away death. Perfect health. Soundness. Come forth. Oh Lord, we give you thanks. Oh Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks. Let me give us 2 more minutes to do that. Each person, do what you have to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We speak soundness from the top of our heads to the soles of our beings, from the skin to the core of the marrow. In the name of Jesus, we command soundness. I command soundness for you in the name of Jesus. I command those eyes to see clearly. I speak to that heart to beat normally. Doctors said you have failed. You are in hospital and said you have heart failure. I command heart failure. Go. Strength in the heart. Come forth in the name of Jesus. I command cancer to die. I command cancer to die. Every cell that's abnormal, growing abnormally, spreading abnormally, die in the name of Jesus. I command that womb to conceive in the name of Jesus. Receive the strength to conceive in the name of Jesus. Every degeneration of the brain, whether from stroke or slow degeneration, causing dementia, causing the ability to think, to walk, to function, I command it to be reversed in the name of Jesus by the power of Christ's resurrection. Sensation is returning to somebody's fingers. In the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Sensation is returning to somebody's fingers. In the name of Jesus. Oh, parts of the body that they are regaining their function. In the name of Jesus. Lazarus, come forth. Receive healing in every part of your body. Skin infections disappear in Jesus' name. Long infections disappear in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give a lot of thanks. It's been good to us. Everybody just say, Father, we thank you. Just say, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Everybody say, there is none like the God of Israel. Who rise the heavens to help us. And through the skies in his majesty. Say, the eternal God is our dwelling place. And underneath us are his everlasting arms. He has driven out the enemy from before us. He said, let destruction overtake them. Say, sickness, be destroyed. Poverty, be destroyed. Affliction, be destroyed. Say, therefore we dwell in safety. We are secluded in a land of green and new wine. And the heavens over us drop down dew. Say, we are blessed.
We are blessed.
There is none like us.
None like
a people saved by the Lord.
By
who
the
is
Lord.
The shield of our help? And the sword of our majesty. See, our enemies will cringe before us. And we tread upon their high places. I'm just, you know, paraphrase the bit. That's from Jeremiah chapter 33. All right. If you read from around verse, that was around verse 26. All right. Just take time and read it, frame it, and declare that word. One way you, know, you see, there's one thing Kenneth Copeland said those days. He said, keep the pressure on. And I like that. You know what that means? Don't ever change. See, please, these messages, make sure you grab them and listen to them until you can almost recite them. I hope you're getting my point. That is how you keep the pressure on. Listen, affliction, I will, look, it won't stay in your body.
Amen.
Personally, I no go agree. I no go agree on your behalf.
Yes.
Let me tell you something you don't know. Every word that I preach is backed by prayer. For those who listen. Yeah. See, you're not a minister unless you are praying. It's a prayer and the ministry of the word. And I'm saying to you, I have prayed for you.
Amen.
I have prayed for you.
Amen.
See, we're in agreement, Abby.
Yes,
affliction will not stay in your body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Give a lot of thanks. Say, Father, we'll thank you. Just give a lot of thanks. Just give a lot of thanks. Say, Father, we'll thank you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank the Lord for your healing. You have been healed indeed. Thank the Lord like somebody who has received his healing. I am certain that the Lord has healed you. The power of the Holy Ghost, the power of Christ has touched you. The word of God is like Christ himself, and the Lord himself has laid his hands upon you. He has touched you. You have been healed. Your situation has been turned around. The power of death is broken over your life. Please lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Lift up your voices in thanksgiving. From the bottom of your heart, say, Jesus, I thank you. Say, Lord, I receive it. I receive it, Lord. I receive